Everyone loves Film Sack. Well, those who listen do, and if you like Film Sack and shows like it on the Frog Pants Network, you can go to patreon.com/frogpants today and show your support in meaningful ways. That's patreon.com/frogpants. And thanks.
Where is my fucking shit at? And why is my fucking put it somewhere that's not where it's supposed to be? No, I did not hear a word you said.
This was taken on Friday last. It is the secret complex at Bilyask. If you look at the top right-hand corner, you will make out the main hangar. This is the detail of that section. Take a good look, gentlemen, because we have every reason to believe that you're looking at the Firefox.
Always check your candy. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, episode, oh gosh, where are we? 340, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Brian. There's a lot of boring, stuffy old men in charge of things in this movie, Dunaway.
And in real life. Oh, hi.
Hi.
This week's film may hit a little too close for home for some. What with us on the verge of Cold War II, but I'll try to get through this with little to no seizures or joy. Speaking of getting hit, what does it take to get punched in this movie? Take Eastwood's cigar or taste it. Death by face beating. Play pocket pool while fondling Eastwood's papers. Face punching to the death. Russian pilot flipping on a light switch. That's a face beating with a side of hold the death. Your papers are not in order, sir. Not in order at all.
Taste his cigar.
The papers are fine.
That's awesome. Oh my gosh. Also with us, Randy, never take a job from a sweaty, gross British man with huge lamb chops, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Hi.
Randy.
I know what you're thinking. You got a question. Can I sack this thing? Well, there's two things that I can do, that I know I can do.
I feel some improv coming. All right, keep going.
One. One of those things is I can take a long damn time to do something. I can walk around town forever. I can get in a plane and fly it.
Yeah.
And it just goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
The other thing I know I can do is I can sack this thing.
A bad Eastwood.
The end.
Nice. Well done. Also with us, and finally, Brian, he's been having some stomach problems a bit.
Oh, perfect. Perfect lead into this.
Yeah.
Papers, please. So, what brings you to Russia? You're sweating. Are you sick or are you nervous, Says here that you're staying at the Warsaw. Maybe I should call them and see if they recognize you. Say, have you had the pierogies there? What do you think? I think they're a little salty myself. Yep. Can I get a ride? Also, your papers are not in order. This one actually goes on top.
That's what I kept thinking. Every time someone says the papers aren't in order, I kept going, put them in order then. Just put them in order. Exactly. Gosh dang it. All right. Well, there's your fine introduction to a movie I have now seen I've seen a total of 5 times.
What?
Wow. Yeah. Now,
Who are you?
I know. Now, here's the funny thing about that. When I saw it in 1982, it was in a movie theater and I was a kid.
Wow.
And I remember it being super cool. And I think the only part I remembered at all or thought was cool was the plane flying over the water real fast and making water shoot up behind it.
Right.
Now, that like today I looked at it and went, oh,
what?
Well, that's obviously like detonators in the water. Like, it's so stupid now.
Right.
Like, it doesn't even look right.
Because they all go up at the same time, as opposed to it being like a a trail that follows him.
Yeah, it's not right. It's bad. It's not like, you know, Man of Steel had that great scene. I realize what I just said sounds like an oxymoron, but Man of Steel had a scene where Superman's flying real fast over the water, and he creates like this huge wall of water behind him, two of them. That's always a cool effect, and so that's my memory. Saw it again on VHS a couple of times. Don't remember anything from those viewings. Saw it again some other time, I don't remember. And then now. So here's the weird thing. I remembered almost nothing after five viewings of this, four or five, whatever it is. I don't remember a damn thing about this movie, and most of it was weirdly new to me and really boring. How did I make it through that when I was, you know, 10,
I
11?
Know, right?
I don't get it.
Popcorn. So Red Hots.
Things have definitely gotten more exciting over the intervening 35 years. Like, that's something we have to all agree on, right?
Yeah.
Things have gotten more exciting. Comedy is more fast-paced. Mm-hmm. Action comes with more action,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, they figure out a way to set things up and explain them while stuff is going on.
Right.
Instead of, let's just sit here in a boring conference room and do half an hour of exposition to tell you what's going on.
With the most dry batch of actors you can find without any kind of real inflection. I mean, the British guy was the most emotive, but he sucked.
Right.
It was just like that stuff really ground on me on this watch through. And this movie's nearly 3 hours. Well, it's 2.5 hours long. And one thing I never knew about it is I assumed this was one of Clint Eastwood's paying the bills. They hired me to be an actor in this deal. No, he's like full on producer and director of this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He has since directed. Acting. He's directed many things since that are way better at both the action and the disbelief in the science fiction that's happening or any of that stuff. Like he's a great director. One of our finest, I think. Mm-hmm. But this is shitty. I mean, it's not good.
It is not good.
No.
He's definitely he definitely believes in subtle direction, right? Mm-hmm. He doesn't ever ask for anyone to do anything that you don't expect. And I think he actually asks for them to tone it down if mm-hmm. they turn in something that's a little too, you know, much.
Yeah.
And so he's
Hold on, I almost felt something there, but take it back a little bit.
But isn't that kind of like classic direction? Like didn't you get the feeling like, oh, this movie minus the technology would have been right at home in the 1950s.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and this is also early directing for him, so it's not like he's used to being in the big chair quite yet, I guess.
Right. But I would actually say that, you know, this could have been a much better movie. I didn't hate it, but this could have been a much better movie if it was an hour shorter. Yeah. I wanted to see if Clint Eastwood was also editor of this film. And I'm curious if this film even had...
I can't cut that either. I'm awesome in that scene.
Yeah, keep that one.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, got to keep that one. I don't think there was an editor to this film.
Yeah. I mean, their editors listed, but I don't think they did a very good job. Here's the funny thing to add to what you just said, Brian. There's a note here in the IMDb trivia that there were 16 extra minutes of this film that were taken out. So
thanks.
We were almost full 3 hours.
My God, what did they take out?
The hallmark of this movie is that it takes its time. Like, it doesn't just portray him walking around Moscow. It bores you with that. Like, it's like, we're going to beat into you that he's walking around Moscow at night.
Yeah.
Like that's what this movie's point is, apparently.
Yeah.
And I couldn't ever figure out what that point was supposed to mean for us. Like, were we supposed to identify with the Russians somehow? Like, were we supposed to feel like, oh, the Cold War isn't a good idea? Because it never actually states anything. And it's kind of like that thing where you just make art and then beg someone to interpret it in your favor.
A little bit, but also this is a movie that assumes from the get-go that we all are going to be deep in the Cold War mindset and everything a Russian does is shady and you can't tell who's KGB and who isn't. And if you get stopped for anything, you're either going to go to the gulag or get away. Luckily, like all of that kind of stuff is very ham fisted here. And it probably felt okay in 82. Today it feels, well, maybe it's starting to feel normal again, but you know,
like Randy was saying, movies were definitely slower during the 70s. And as a thriller, which this is kind of supposed to be, you would normally want to take your time to build tension so that you feel, you know, great tension that the actor is in trouble. That I just don't know if it plays well today.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I say, like, who were they talking to? They were talking to people who liked their spy thrillers, and they were talking to, I think, me as a kid who likes giant
science fiction, baby.
Yeah, and giant jet ships you can control with your brain. Like, that's a badass idea. Like, whoa, it's a Russian MiG you can control with your brain? No way. This time I was annoyed. I was like, well, wait a minute. Isn't it usually the other way around? We'll have some cool tech and they'll come steal it. Like, nobody's got a brain controlled plane that we got to go try to steal. And secondly, they're a bunch of idiots if he somehow infiltrated that place and got in there. Like, the entire movie, I just kept thinking, you're the worst Russians. You're the bunch of dumbasses. Like, you're good at beating each other up.
The Russians as sleeping giants who just were overconfident, and that was their weakness. Yeah. Right?
I actually want to stand up for that whole thing, because that actually made sense to me. There was a point the film made over and over, which was that there were people who were willing to give their lives for the Americans to succeed, you know, and the fact that they did, you know, and so, like, you actually got to see the horrible aftermath of the one guy sacrificing himself as the dogs are closing in on him and he sees the plane fly over.
Yep.
Like, that worked for me.
Yeah.
And I needed, you know, so I needed the plane to be stolen,
yeah.
You know, in order for the people who sacrifice so much for their sacrice to mean something. That's probably the only part of the film that I actually felt great about.
Like,
yeah. I actually was a little, I was actually a little annoyed at the fact that I was like, oh, this is so American centric. Here we are. You know, the great cowboy Clint Eastwood rides in. He saves the day just long enough for the dead Jews to watch as he flies off in the plane.
All right, yay!
It's
definitely got that.
Why couldn't they be the hero? Why couldn't they be?
It's definitely got that American savior comes in and saves the day thing going on.
Yeah. Did you notice, though, that he kind of brought down the savior aspect? Like, he made the character...
Absolutely.
Kind of a bumbling fool at times.
Yeah.
You know, the character barely, like, he's good at this one thing, which is flying any plane. And he was not really good at anything else. And it took everyone else sacrificing themselves to get him into the plane.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, and
he was such a baby because, okay, I don't want to say he's a baby, but come on. All right. In the annals of POW history, has anyone not been exposed to anything less traumatizing than Clint Eastwood? Because from the portrayal of the movie, he got shot down. He landed near a lake. They put him in a bamboo cage and they carried him about 20 feet, and then he got rescued.
Poked him with bamboo sticks.
Yeah.
Right. They poked him with bamboo sticks, and then he got rescued, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what we were led to believe?
He just remembers the napalm girl really specifically, and it's supposed to invoke all this stuff. And I totally get where they're coming from, I'm with you on that particular level of PTSD.
I was a prisoner of war for 11 minutes. Right. The worst 11 minutes of my life.
It doesn't feel
earned.
I mean,
if you're going to dramatize something, dramatize it big.
You know,
I wouldn't doubt, I would be totally affected by this for my rest of my life, but in a movie setting I expect it to be big.
I agree with you. I think that fell a little bit flat, and I understand what they were trying to do, but also this is an era of two very interesting movie ideals. It's Russia everywhere, and it's Vietnam is still affecting normal, you know, everyone's at home now and their dads and they're working and they're all having flashbacks. Those were the two constants every time you got a thriller in 1982. And this movie had both those things, and both of those things just fell a little flat for me, but whatever.
And the third thing was technology, plane porn.
Yeah.
Right? You had your Russian espionage, your Vietnam flashbacks, and your plane porn.
Yeah. Plane porn was a big
deal.
Had
everything.
Except for action. What are we, like, 3 years away from Top Gun? I think so. 3 years away, two years away from Top Gun, something like that. And Top Gun,
82. Mm-hmm.
And that movie just redefined it. Like, hey, you want to have jets and cool shit with the Navy and the Air Force? Okay, here's this. Now we'll never be the same again. Like, Top Gun literally changed that in a way that when I watched this, I went, oh, this motion-controlled flight stuff looks like those Superman movies.
That's right. Yeah, Top Gun makes this look like Iron Eagle.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Iron Eagle makes this look like something worse than Iron Eagle.
Well, I just want to touch on the subplot one more time, and that is the subplot is Dirty Harry has PTSD, and portrayed it in a way that you're not really sure. Like, you don't really, okay, he's having some thoughts. Mm-hmm. Like, did he, maybe he watched a thriller Vietnam movie recently, you know what I mean? Like, he never says anything about it. They leave it to these generals, though, to say, well, you know, all soldiers now have this condition, and a lot of people, you know, it's difficult on them in civilian life. Well, okay, there, you've established a subplot, now do something with it.
Yeah.
And they didn't. Mm-hmm.
All they did was they made it a stumbling block, because every time it was go time, like when he's in the shower and that alarm is supposed to be his cue, he's having his flashback and ignoring the alarm. And I'm just thinking, well, that's not the way. You can't use this as that device.
A hero is flawed, right? And that's his flaw. That's supposed to be his, you know, it's supposed to stop him.
I think his flaw is, and I don't know if you guys noticed this, but the flaw with Clint Eastwood is, and I can only imagine it's gotten worse as days have gone on for him, but when he's got no shirt on, okay, this is a Scottism, okay, but when he's got no shirt on, his belly button is misaligned. It is way off to the right while the rest of us, so I don't know if that's like a twisted spine thing or some kind of weird deal going on there, but I'll bet now you get a shirt off of old man Eastwood today, holy shit, I'll bet that is something else.
See, I was totally in a different place, because I was about the time that happened, I was looking up Clint Eastwood's age during this movie, which had been about 47, so it's a couple years older than me, not many. Yeah. And I was thinking, oh, is that how I look?
And now that they can sell my search engine history, they're going to find Clint Eastwood shirtless among my search.
Yeah, they are forever. NSA's got it right now. They can hear us. They can just hear us talking over Skype.
I found a picture of old man Eastwood shirtless.
Ooh. Yeah.
All right. There you go.
I hope I look that good.
Me
when
too.
I'm 103. Right.
Yeah,
when
I'm 168,
I'm straight from the neck up. But
when I'm in my 90s, I want to look that good.
When I'm 108, I would really like to look like Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
I can't find any. When I type shirtless Clint Eastwood, I don't get anything.
Oh really?
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Never mind. And see how that belly button, even though he's whatever, it's way over. It's not supposed to be over there.
Is it his belly button, or does he always jack his pants to the right? Which is it?
Hold on.
Buckle.
I am sorry and excited to say it's genetic. I'm showing you a picture of his son, the belly button is so far off.
Look at that. Yeah. Scott Eastwood, his belly button's off too.
Way off. It's not even. It looks like two different pictures have gotten cleverly photoshopped together here.
Do you think they go to go to a support group with that model? What's her name with the weird torso?
Kate Upton.
Kate Upton. They're all.
I don't know,
like,
but his son needs to pull his pants up. Come on now.
Seriously.
Oh, come on. Seriously. But you want to see the happy trail?
I'm just gonna keep throwing these at you. You pull up any picture of Scott Eastwood topless, and his belly button looks like. Yeah. It's completely off to the right side of his body.
Yeah.
I just, weird. This is, you have just made Firefox better for me somehow.
it's like 3 inches off center.
It really is off. It's way off center. Weird. It's like a Tom Cruise's tooth.
You're gonna body shame the Eastwood family.
No,
here
it's not even body shaming.
I think it's fantastic.
Yeah. It's a defining feature, but it's very distracting for me. I see it and just go, what do you got going over there? Yeah. By the way, there are way too many pictures, photoshops of Clint Eastwood as old man Logan on these search results. Why is that a thing? That apparently is a thing.
Something everybody wanted.
People wanted him to play Logan for a while, and they were creating.
Or maybe he was a stunt double near the end of the.
I mean, it kind of works.
He really does look the part.
Yeah,
you gotta give it to him.
Yeah,
like,
this
was the thing he should have done.
Maybe
right.
He talks to chairs now and shit. He's fine. Right. Everything's fine. did we ever say the movie's Firefox? I think we did.
Oh my goodness,
we never did do the Fletcher thing.
Well, he never sent me one for this. Or I should say because of my trip I screwed up and didn't get it on time. But it is Firefox, directed by and starring Clint Eastwood.
Produced
with he did all kinds of stuff. And it is what it is. Here's the thing, it's based on an actual event, and it happened with a Soviet, or the story was there was a Soviet fighter pilot, Viktor Belenko, I think is how you say his name. He defected to Japan on September 6th of 1976. He was then stationed in Chuganicha, whatever the hell that is, part of the old Soviet Russia, where he flew a MiG-25 to Hokuto, Japan, or something to that effect. I don't know these names. During his defection, he brought the pilot's manual, where the USAF, that's the U.S. Air Force, and gave it to them, and the American personnel evaluated and tested the aircraft. So the whole thing is based on this guy actually stealing and defecting with a plane, parking it in Japan. U.S. Air Force gets a hold of it and its stuff, and there was a way to find out what the Russians had under the hood, whether or not that ended up being, you know, helpful. They didn't say, but it's an interesting piece of trivia. So this isn't like all based on smoke and mirrors, except for the part where you can control it with your brain. And that
plus, you know, the whole infiltration of the Russian, you know.
We lost Dunaway.
Oh, he's back. He's back. No, you're what? Good.
You cut out in the middle of that. You want to say that again?
Yeah, say that again. Give us
I'm going to say this again. I'm not saying it. Forget it. It's lost to the ether.
Brian's technical issues today are making me laugh, and I feel bad that I'm laughing. They're making me laugh. Author Craig Thomas's 1983 sequel to Firefox, the novel Firefox Down. It's about a bunch of rabbits. No, just kidding. It's not about that. is dedicated to Clint Eastwood. The dedication reads, "For Clint Eastwood, pilot of the Firefox."
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's, see,
I'll bet he didn't.
That's pretty good.
Like, I'll bet Clint Eastwood never flew a plane. Like, I just the whole second half of this movie is just him sitting in this thing, and you just never feel like he has any idea what he's doing. He spent the first hour telling you he's the best pilot in the world. He could fly anything. Mm-hmm. And the second one, he's just like, there's this look on his face. Like, what's going on? The whole
like
time.
A dog trying to operate a remote control.
Yeah.
And they made a bad decision. I don't know if this was in the writing or in the thought process or when they made the bad decision, but they decided that instead of having ground control, they would have him speak to a black box,
yeah,
right,
and record like a diary, which
and then
is
they
the
could
most
recover that later if he was lost,
yeah, right. Right. So he has to explain everything he's about to do, and that is just, you don't want to do that in film, and it doesn't work.
Quite, it reminds me of the Super Friends when like Aquaman goes, "Oh, well, all I need to do now is call my animal friend." Like, it's just this like talk to yourself and project what you're gonna do. That is such a weird old way. Or, you know, "Now I will take the gun," from old time radio.
Yes.
It's not.
That's probably, I mean, that's where it comes from, right? It's got to come from like radio serials where it was, all right, now I am lifting up the case and I will hold it above my head and throw it at you.
Yeah. Or phone calls where they repeat everything they're saying. Why am I here? Well, because you told me to go here. Where am I going now to get my car? And like, it's like, no, we get it. Right. You can be more subtle than this. We can pick up on the subtle hints. You don't have to read every damn thing. And I'm not sure they meant to do that, but that's how it played here.
Right. And I think they did because, you know, a lot of his scenes are just him sitting in a cockpit, you know, and having stuff projected on his face. And so we have to kind of piece that story together. I'm not sure.
And also, they seem to be trying to avoid a MacGuffin that doesn't actually present itself in the film, right? So, like, it's like he's going to steal this super high-tech powered plane, and we'll talk more about that later. Yeah. He's in the plane, and they're telling him, "We're not going to be able to talk to you over the radio because then they'd be able to intercept our transmissions." Well, it doesn't matter because it's the fastest thing on the planet.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if they know where you're going. It doesn't matter if they know where you are. It's all a race to, can they get in front of you and stop you before you get back home with the plane?
Yeah.
And so, like, ultimately, when you're actually up there, like, oh, he could have been talking to someone on the radio.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Totally. Mm-hmm. Who cares? I mean, was it to increase the you know, the press secretary or whoever you're supposed to be back at the hangar? I mean, because they kept wondering, is he dead? Is he not? Is he going? Is he here? Is he there? Does it matter?
No, he seemed to have a fine phone line to the Russian butthole man. And like, he talked to him.
Russian butthole.
They kept talking to him and, you know, having their little banter. And I kept thinking, well, all right, now that if you've done that, what's the harm in talking to your operative on the other side? Like, just talk to him. Who cares? Mm-hmm.
I think Randy's right. I think they were trying to solve a problem that never presented itself. They were trying to circumvent something that never happened.
Yeah.
And then they come along with the biggest trope in the world, which just drove me absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
And that was the plane that goes twice as fast as any other technology, and we're going to chase it down with another plane. Like, no, you have to, like, okay, I was okay with them trying to chase it down with missiles,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But chasing it with another plane, we have this second plane. Well, God, well, then what? Maybe there's a third. Who cares now?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Why did they do this to me? He's driving through a trench in the snow, mm-hmm. and it's just like, there's no way. Okay, so he's slowed down to the other plane's max speed or whatever, but it didn't, I was so taken out of the movie the entire time he's flying near the ground. I'm just like, you don't fly near the ground at really, really high speeds.
Also, isn't it kind of an international incident as well? If you have, so when this thing ends, it's like sunset and beautiful and he flies off and you don't get any, you don't get any conclusion to right. him getting on the ground and having any resolution. So what happens next day? Does Walter Cronkite get on the TV the next day and go, there's an international crisis today? Or
yeah, there's a big right. difference between someone in Russia, you know, escaping with a plane who is already there and a nation state literally sending an agent to disrupt and steal your equipment. That's yeah. going to cause war.
Yeah. A guy who, by the way, hardly knows any Russian. And the movie got so lazy in the middle, it said, you know what? He'll just have him talk like, I'm in the shower, leave me alone. And everyone will just go, that bugged me.
I didn't understand that. Why? I didn't quite understand why. Maybe I got bored.
Okay, but did you think about what would this have been like if it had been all Russian with subtitles?
No, it would have sucked. You're not wrong. I don't blame you for that. All I'm saying is, and they do this in movies. This is not that unusual. Like, they'll transition to just people are talking, and there's a reason why Star Trek smartly has a fix-all technology called the Universal Translator, so they never have to dick with that, right? Mm-hmm. Or occasionally, right. once in a while, like the crystalline entity will be weird and hard to understand, and they have to tune it. But for the most part,
Babelfish and Hitchhiker's Guide,
exactly, right? It's a solution, and here you mm-hmm. don't really have one. Your solution is, well, we could have them just all talking Russian all the time, or we could have him talk in an accent, but that's a little bit weird. So let's just have him talk like Clint Eastwood, and they'll. And we'll trust the audience to assume that this is all on the up and up. And I'm not sure it worked. I think it kind of failed.
Mm-hmm.
It sounded real weird to me when he's like, I'm in the shower. I can't get out of here just yet. Leave me alone. I'm right. like, you all are dumb. You're the worst Russians is all it kept telling me.
Right. Okay, sir. Sorry, sir. We'll leave you alone, sir.
Yeah, we'll leave you alone in your shower. Sorry. It's just like, well, you guys are really stupid. You know, it's really, really stupid. And I understand that's the point. The point is to say, they're so awful and terrible that we can infiltrate them and steal their plane. But right. Yeah, it's dumb.
I gotta admit, I went to the bathroom at one point in time, and I didn't bother putting this movie on pause. Unlike most movies,
you could have. There's no sack. Point. There's no point in this movie where you could leave for a minute and miss something.
No.
But right? I did. I was confused about what appeared to be a betrayal. Of Clint Eastwood and his good buddy who threw him out of the car earlier, because I came back and I'm like, why does he keep telling all the Russians he wants a patrol on the fence? Isn't that where his buddy's at? Why sending out dogs? And they actually were going to capture him.
Well, he had to keep face, right? Wasn't that the deal? So he couldn't.
Yeah, it was right. It was just a way to look to play the part of being the captain right. commander.
Right.
Okay. All
by
right.
the way, the doctor in the car when he was in the trunk and the guy was driving the car, that doctor yeah. guy looked like the doctor from Star Trek Enterprise. And I went on my bathroom moment where I didn't pause it, but I went on this like deep look trying to find that guy and see if that was really him. And I probably missed, you know, a chunk of plot because I was looking at something yep. else.
And I had the same thing with the guy who looked like Paul Simon.
Yeah, he did look like Paul Simon.
I know right. this isn't Paul Simon. Who is this?
No, but it's long-haired hippie Paul Simon, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's pretty great.
Hey, I know you saw Cliffy there.
Yeah, Cliff's
yes,
in this.
Let's talk Cliff.
Not only Cliff was in this, there's a little piece of trivia about this. Two actors in this film, John Ratzenberger, who plays Cliff Clavin on Cheers, and Kenneth mm-hmm. Coley, both of these actors, both appeared in Star Wars Episode V, The Empire Strikes Back, which came out 2 years earlier. In this film, Ratzenberger played a junior officer on a U.S. submarine in the Arctic and was mostly yelling a lot. He didn't have much to say as far as like lines, but he was whatever. And then in the Star Wars, he was on Hoth playing a junior officer on the ice planet hiding from the Empire. So two very similar roles. The difference is in this one, they used his voice. In Star Wars, they dub him with somebody else.
Right.
And it's awesome. We can't go out there tonight, Princess. He's going to have to make it on his own. It's like, who the hell is that? Is not Cliff.
It's a well-known fact that you know, a guy can actually survive on Hoth if he climbs inside of a tauntaun.
Brian, I'm going to tap you. And I'm serious about this. I'm going to go capture that scene, and then I'm going to tap you to do some VO. And we're going to do it the same lines, but all in Cliff voice. I think that would be a viral hit. I'm telling you.
I mean, that'll be hilarious. Yeah, yeah, totally.
And we'll do them back to back. Like, here it is without, and now here it is with what he should have sounded like or something. Anyway, so then this other guy, Kenneth Copley, played a Soviet colonel in the command center looking for the heroes. While in Empire Strikes Back, he played Admiral Piet, a high-ranking Imperial officer, and reprised that role later in Return of the Jedi.
And Kenneth Copley brings to us the absolute worst does your family have an agent picture ever put in IMDb. What is going on? I'm assuming he's dead.
Oh, yeah. What the hell is that? That is hilarious, dude.
It makes in fact, it's been so long since we had a candidate for worst picture on IMDb that it's like now, okay, there's no way you could ever have a worse picture than this.
Well, it's usually it's usually just goofy face photo, like, oh, why couldn't you do something better than that horrible face you're making or whatever. But this is just a blurry shot of maybe him walking by a car.
Some police Bobby.
Is he in the car? Is he behind the Bobby? Is he the Bobby?
Yeah, that's really dumb.
No sense. And it's freaking horrible. And I'm just shocked. Like, it's one of those things where you're like, is somebody trolling me? Have I been hacked?
Yeah.
How is this a thing on IMDb?
I agree.
It's really weird. That's great.
He's still sort of doing stuff, been doing things in the late 2000s.
There's no way he's still alive.
He's totally alive. 1937 was born. He's still alive. He was most recently he's in a new Great Escape short film that's called The Great Escape, 2017. He was in Mum.
He was in Empire Strikes Back. He's one of the...
Yeah. He was in Peaky Blinders. That's where I saw him recently. He was in season 3, episode 2 and 3, I believe. Yeah, it says right here. Early on in that season, he showed up in Peaky Blinders. So he's still working.
You never again get to say, oh, anybody with an IMDb page goes and looks at that.
I know that rules out the rules out the door now. That's pretty funny. But people recognize him from Star Wars immediately as the guy who takes over after someone gets choked out right next to him.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Captain
Nito. He's got some good picks in there. They could have
Differently used for his profile
pic. It's not like only one. It's not like he's like Bigfoot, even though Bigfoot in the picture.
That's a good point.
Just the straight up facing the camera shot from Empire Strikes Back would be great.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
It would be just fine. Yes.
And it feels like if you've got a good photo of you from Star Wars, you should be using that.
You.
Yeah, put that up.
That's your business card, man. You use that.
Exactly. Yeah,
I'm Admiral Piet.
I like that guy though. I have some lines from him from the movie we'll play later.
Speaking of Star Wars, we just got first trailer for episode 8
teaser, but yeah, it's fine.
Scott's like, no,
it's not nearly enough. It doesn't say anything. It's I'm not disappointed. I'm stoked, but it's not much of a teaser. It's kind of like, oh, there's shit going on. All right.
Basically, it's a White Castle trailer.
It's the White Castle of trailers.
There you go. The White Castle of trailers. Oh, Brian missed all our White Castle talk earlier because you were having mic problems. We should talk later about White Castle because you have them down
there. I did enough White Castle talk. Thanks anyway.
Do you have them down there? You guys have them, right?
Yeah, we do have some, but we mostly do crystals.
Oh, yeah.
Same kind of thing. We have way more crystals.
Right. Yeah. All right.
And it's better, right? Crystals is better?
Wow. Okay.
That's hard to say.
That's a statement.
It's like saying Wendy's and Burger King.
Exactly. Yeah. Is Wendy's or Burger King better? Do you like square patties or do you like flame broiled patties?
How stoned are you?
On what you want, right? Because like Wendy's has better nuggets, but Burger King probably has better burger. So. Right.
How much edible HTC did you take? Not HTC. What's it called? That's
wow.
That's a Vive. Someone ate their Vive. No, what's it called? THC? It's a THC. That's what I meant. How much THC did you eat before you went in? Depends on how much you like White Castle over Crystal. Is what I'm saying.
There you go. And it's always Taco Bell is the answer after that question.
HTC. What the hell's wrong with me? What else? Oh, $21 million a budget. Now, in 1982 terms, that is a load of money and is still to this date, in terms of constant dollars and adjusted for inflation, one of the most expensive Clint Eastwood movies ever made. Thankfully,
all spent on
and it made a bunch
spent
of money
on special effects.
That's right. And they made a bunch of models. I'd love to have one of those little models. That'd be fun.
I have two times I want to go around the table this episode, so I just want to get to one now. What's your favorite Clint Eastwood movie again?
Oh,
anybody?
Have we done this?
Not this one.
Yeah.
It's funny that you asked this because I thought I knew, and I thought it was definitely going to be something like Tightrope or...
I know Scott's. I know Scott's without a doubt.
Well, it should be obvious.
Unforgiven?
Yeah, Unforgiven. Unforgiven is by far my favorite Clint Eastwood movie. And we're talking just directed or ones he's in, because he directs some where he's not in them.
I think you can have both under the banner Clint Eastwood movie, don't you? Like,
all right.
Don't you feel like there are Clint Eastwood movies he didn't direct and Clint Eastwood movies he directed but didn't really star in?
Yeah,
so Clint Eastwood.
Yeah,
movies?
That's true. Because like his In the Line of Fire is probably my second favorite, and that's not him. That's somebody else making that. Wolfgang, what's his name? Wolfgang Peterson was his name.
Peterson, yeah.
So for me, it's Unforgiven is one of the best movies ever. So I love Unforgiven. So it's easy for me. Who else? Has anyone else changed? Has Firefox swayed anyone?
Right. No. He has been so prolific over the years that I'll always know him as Dirty Harry because that's the first time I ever really seen Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you he really charmed the pants off me in Gran Torino.
It's funny. It's on my list too. And I would be, it's that one or another one for me, but it's funny you say charmed you because he was such an a-hole in that movie.
He was, he made up for it.
He's one of those that we talk about. That's kind of the same guy in every movie. He's kind of Dirty Harry. He's kind of that, like in Space Cowboys, he's the same kind of guy, you know, like, he knows not to stretch and try to play something he ain't, right?
Right.
That's a skill.
Yeah.
I'm coming more and more around toward Every Which Way But Loose because it just like, just because it's different than all these others. Like I freaking love the movie Million Dollar Baby. We touched on it a couple weeks ago, but it's just like, it's just him talking
soul sucking.
Yeah, it's him being sad and old.
His World War II stuff's like that, too. Like, it even more recent things. I really liked
The Flags for Our Fathers in Iwo Jima, yeah.
Yeah, I liked the... What was the FBI director one he did?
Line of Fire.
No. He
was Secret Service guy.
It was the historical... He's not even in it. It's the one with DiCaprio in it. Hoover. J. Edgar.
Oh, right.
I saw that recently, and I freaking love that.
J. Edgar,
really just good, despite the fact that he was kind of in cosplay, but whatever, it's fine.
Perfect World would be my number one. Gran Torino is great, but Perfect World is the one with Kevin Costner as like this criminal on the run who picks up a little kid, and it's not like, oh, Kevin Costner's, he turns out to be this great warm-hearted guy. No, he's a bad guy throughout the whole damn thing.
Is that a recent one? Right. How old is that?
No, it's from 1993. Early 90s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does it now? The girl he kidnaps, does she have a map on her back so we know where the dry land is? Or
no, it's a little boy in a Casper costume.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Great.
And it's a John Lee Hancock written film, and John Lee Hancock has just been prolific. He wrote. He directed The Blind Side.
I've never seen. I want to see this now. I've never seen the. What'd you call it? What's the name of this?
A Perfect World.
A Perfect World.
So you would love it, Scott. It's Kevin Costner, for Pete's sake.
I love Kevin Costner. I'm a huge fan.
And Clint Eastwood and, who else? There's like some other, there's people in there who like got really big after this,
later?
I think.
Yeah. I keep thinking hearing the name Perfect World, and it sounds like that spinoff from The Cosby Show.
Different World.
Different World. That's what that was called.
Maybe not. Let's see. Bradley Whitford.
Oh, I like Bradley.
Laura Dern.
I love Laura Dern.
Maybe.
Listen to all these names. I love these people.
Yeah. So yeah, you've got it. You do need to see this. It's excellent.
Here's two Eastwood movies that you may have missed that are different and kind of fun, but are really would probably be really good for Film Sack. And that's The Deadpool, which was the first time I ever heard Guns N' Roses. Okay. Welcome to the Jungle. And then there's a 77 that was a movie called Gauntlet.
The Deadpool and, sounds like the way my mom would refer to Deadpool.
Deadpool, yeah. Right. Yeah. Deadpool. But it's actually, it's a Dirty Harry movie, the Deadpool.
It is.
It's
you know, of all one, those right? hero movies, the one I used to, or liked the most this year was the Deadpool.
That's what it sounds
right.
like.
The Deadpool.
Isn't that the one with the Go Ahead Make My Day?
Oh.
I don't think so. I think this was kind of like after most of that stuff. Okay. This was almost like a callback and said, hey, let's bring Dirty Harry back for one more film. And we're not even going to call it Dirty Harry. We're not going to focus much on that. We're going to focus
Sudden
on
Sudden Impact,
the,
I think, was the one with the yeah, go ahead, right. make my day line. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I always just think of it as Dirty Harry. And then there is no movie called
You might
Dirty
be
Harry.
Right, though. Let's see. Some of the catchphrases are opinions are like buttholes. Everyone has one.
Right. You know? Really?
That's the claim to fame for that one.
That's great.
Right. For some reason, man, the more we talk about it, the more I'm like, I want a different kind of Clint Eastwood movie. Like I say, like Every Which Way But Loose, or even Bridges of Madison County. It's just like, get me away from Dirty Harry, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Get me as far away from Dirty Harry as you can.
I didn't consider the Deadpool a Dirty Harry movie. I mean, it was obviously, but. It just didn't. It didn't play much on that.
It's different. Yeah, it's different than the others. Yeah. It's like it's like Rocky One compared to the other Rockies, in a weird way.
Right.
You
right.
know what I mean? Like it's more serious. Like it's about a boxer. It's not about a half robot Russian or a Mohawk wearing Mr. T or whatever. I guess it wasn't a half robot, but you know what I mean. Like they kind of go in weird places. But yeah, I kind of agree with that. So I was thinking about if you were remaking this today, who I'd want in this. I think you could actually do it, and it'd be pretty cool, first of all. We have all the tech we need now to make this look really rad.
And actually make it feel more suspenseful and more like he's in real danger in Russia. And
yeah, get somebody like one of the Bourne directors or, you know, somebody like that to
but
do it.
But didn't we essentially do that with Bridge of Spies? This felt very Bridge of Spies.
Didn't see it, but I want to see it. But here's who you put in there. It's Viggo Mortensen, and here's why, okay? Because I just saw him in Eastern Promises, and that dude can go Russian as hell. He can go deep Russian and pull it off. And you could do he talks normal. You could do this thing where it's not subtitled, or you just have better writing and the subtitles don't bug you because it's tight. Either way, he's your guy. That's your man.
It's a great choice because you could see them tapping his shoulder to all right, you look like a Russian. You can fly a plane. We need you to do this.
Yeah, and he can speak Russian. He's like full on. Well, at least if he remembered everything he did from Eastern Promises. I mean, holy shit, he got nominated for or did he win that year? He may have won that year for Best Actor, or did he? I don't remember. I know he's nominated for Eastern Promises, but I don't know if he won.
You know, my concern is that Viggo Mortensen and Chris Cooper are converging.
Into the same human being?
Seriously, look up recent pictures of them, and like, it's a little bit startling. It's a little concerning to me.
If they touch each other.
But Viggo has all of his front teeth.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's a good point. That's a good point.
If they touch each other, will they become Ron Silver? Is that how it works?
So we know that Viggo Mortensen looks Russian. Can he think Russian though?
No. See, that was that was the things that made this film sacky.
Yeah.
Was not it would have been a fine spy thriller up until the point they say that the weapons are controlled by the mind and you have to think in Russian and then it's like ding ding ding, sign us up.
Right, exactly. You've just fell off. You've just jumped the shark, or you've just fallen off the wagon, or whatever.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That'd be the most dangerous technology to give, because like, you can't not think about shooting something if you're told don't think about shooting something until it's time to shoot something. You're going to be thinking about shooting something the whole time.
Yeah. Right. And they started out with one, and he was doing it in Russian, deploying the weapon system, and then suddenly about 15 minutes into his flight, when the other Russian showed up, he suddenly forgot that he was supposed to be thinking it. And suddenly, he had to have the Miyagi flashback moment where it's like, you have to think in Russian. And oh, that was so painful.
Yes. Yeah. Don't, three of you guys, don't think about a gray horse. And what's the only thing you can think of right now?
Right.
Val Kilmer.
No.
Val Kilmer. Sorry.
And suddenly Val Kilmer appears.
Because a pale horse is referenced in Tombstone.
Yeah.
Over and over.
Yeah.
That's what got me there.
There you go.
And by the way, Val Kilmer is on a speaking tour. He just performed here in Irvine earlier this week.
Performed? What did he perform?
Yeah. He Batman. Is trying to be the latest person to impersonate Mark Twain.
Yeah, but
really?
I like Brian. Yeah. Now, hold on a second. Two things. One, I like Brian Dunaway's idea.
Eating tour in the 90s.
I like Dunaway's idea that he's been touring as Batman. That's really funny. And two, he played him in some show or something. What was that? It was some TV made for TV thing, a famous something, but it had Twain in it, and he was Twain, and he was really good as Mark Twain.
Okay, that makes sense.
So well, maybe
that's his gig now. Okay. He tried to sell his own art. I don't know if you knew he was a painter.
Yeah, he uses his wiener, though. So.
Citizen Twain is what it's called.
Yeah. Now he goes
Cinema
around
Twain.
And that's does clever, that at least. Mark Twain thing.
Yeah.
And he's really skinny now, just so you know.
Oh, he's lost his weight.
Yeah.
Okay. All that fat shaming, of course. I mean, the internet is ruthless.
Yeah, he looked like
he's... Well, and we, actually, I did it here, too. So
I think he had cancer.
Oh, what? Shut up. What?
I don't want to drag it way down, but I think he had mouth cancer.
Oh, really?
And I'm not sure. I'm not certain about that, but.
You're right. Watch Val Kilmer struggle to speak after cancer scandal. Scandal.
Oh. Scandal.
Scandal because he denied it. He publicly said he didn't.
But he had throat cancer. Yeah. So throat cancer. And that's probably why a lot of this weight was lost. Now he's just sort of kept it off. Hmm. Oh, he looks
he's gonna
rough.
He's going to be doing this Twain thing on May 9th here in Colorado at the Comedy Works.
You should go and say.
Yeah, he's been doing it at comedy clubs. He performed in Irvine earlier this week at the Irvine Improv. So it must be, a very lighthearted Mark Twain thing.
Yeah.
You should go and say, I'll be your wingman.
I'll be
anytime.
Your wingman.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's what you should
What's
do.
What's that smell?
Yeah.
You stink.
All because you said don't think of a pale horse. Thank you.
Yeah, all of that leads us back to this. Well done. There was a video. You guys remember the video game in 83? I remember the video game for Firefox.
I remember the browser.
It was a laser disc.
Yeah.
It was a laser disc video game, like a la Dragon's Lair, right?
Oh, yep.
Really?
Yep. So you would you'd be flying and it would bank right. You'd have to bank right and it would use video from the movie and it was pretty bad. Not good. But
I think there was a PC version.
Might have been.
Hmm. I feel like there was a computer version of this game.
Yeah.
Because I remember a friend loading it up on cassette. I don't know what the computer would have been, but I just vaguely remember this.
What's the conversion process of taking Laserdisc to cassette, though? I don't.
Well, here you go. Firefox, single-player Laserdisc game in the 1982 Clint Eastwood movie based on the same name. Okay, it was produced by Atari in 84, and it says 83 in the other thing. But anyway, was Atari's only Laserdisc game they ever made. Like Atari's previous first-person game, Star Wars The Empire Strikes Back, Firefox came as both an upright and sit-down cabinet and featured a yoke-style controller. So it looked like a broken egg. Anyway, to develop the Laserdisc footage, two developers, Mike Haley and Mo Shore is a great name, sifted through miles of footage from the film, because that's how they did it back then, was miles, not data, amounting to 20 to 30 hours worth of footage. Most of the resulting footage was first-person shots from the films, helicopters flying over Greenland and Scandinavia and so on. It was the second Laserdisc to be added to a MAME. Oh, it was added to a MAME cabinet, see? Blah, blah, blah. It's a Mach 3 was inspired by it. That's it. There's no other versions, it says. Yeah. So it looks like no PC, but I have that weird memory too. I feel like a lot of that stuff made it to PC. But
I'm watching a YouTube video of the game itself, and it is the most. If you felt like the movie needed more editing, this video game feels like it needs way less because it's like herky jerky. Whoever transferred this and put it up on YouTube, it's like they put it through an egg beater.
Yeah,
and then uploaded it.
Yeah, it's
like I don't know if you're watching this thing.
Yeah, I've seen it, and I remember playing it, and I remember it feeling that way then. And the difference between this and Space Ace or Dragon's Lair was those games had transitions. So if you missed a move, the animation would continue right where it was, and you would die. Right. and then it would roll back. If you made it, the animation had to transition to the next thing. So it didn't feel, you know, herky jerky. That mm-hmm. thing was like, if you did it right, it didn't matter if you did it right or wrong. There was no consistency. It would just change the scene. Like, you would just be going, oh, okay, now the clouds are in a totally different place and my ship is slightly tilted, but it was rough cut. It was bad. It was not a good game.
Right.
Like, yeah. Nothing. None of that should make anyone nostalgic.
What?
It was bad.
But I expected a good game.
Well, you paid your 50 cents. You want something, you know. Remember that? Because those Laserdisc games made all those things cost 50 cents, and it pissed me off.
Oh, yeah. A dollar.
Well, now.
They were such a quick, and it was a quick spend, too. Like, Dragon's Lair seemed like, until you got really good at it and memorized, oh, yeah, this is the one chest thing, I need to go left and then hit the button, and then I go right. You would spend so much money learning those patterns.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And by the way, every arcade game I played in Vegas, all of them, the one we went to, Brian, and then also the one I found on Fremont, everyone is a dollar. They're all a dollar
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
Classic, yeah. new,
you have
doesn't
$1,
matter.
Give me a dollar.
Some are more if it's like a brand new thing. Like, they had a brand new Walking Dead game in this arcade. That was $2. Like, what are we doing, people? Are you trying to make it so kids never go to arcades? Is that your plan? Because that's what's going to happen.
I certainly have seen with my own child that there's no wonder, no awe at all around video games and arcades.
No.
And, like, I found a gauntlet, an original gauntlet.
Ooh,
so yes, I don't remember where. And I was explaining to my child, like, this was really amazing to me. Like, you just don't understand how cutting edge this was in a time when
Wizard needs food.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Like, when Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is your cutting edge, and then you look at this is unbelievably good, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And the problem is, so many things in the arcade are Angry Birds. And stuff like that, you know?
Oh, yeah, Doodle Jump. Yeah.
So you couldn't go, you can't take my child from home to an arcade and go from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy to Gauntlet. It's not possible.
I've got more processing power on my phone, Father.
Yeah.
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 No, whatever. I remember when I totally agree with you.
No, I agree with you.
It's lost. We go to these. That thing is lost, and it bums me out because it was such a thing. You go in there and the sight and the sound of it all. It must be the way, what's this like now? I don't know anything else to compare it to, because now you just know that, well, at home, I've got a PlayStation that'll do billions of times what this is. Mm-hmm. And or there's a Switch in your pocket, or there's a phone. You've got your phone that's doing things that an arcade can't even come close to doing. And it's also just like the worst pay-to-play model ever. It's basically, you know, it's microtransactions before we had a term for it. Putting quarters in a hole. Game is rigged to beat you, so you put more quarters in it. Like, NBA Jam was never going to let you walk away a perfect winner and beat the entire game. So it's just a different time, and I wish I could just, like, I feel like my kids are old enough where they kind of still had that awe. But I think anybody under 10 now, I don't think it works.
So the new arcade here at the Spectrum is 3D rides or 4D rides or whatever.
Oh, is that like the box that jerks you around left and right?
Yeah.
And
my concern with it is they have all these different options. You can go on all these different rides in the same business, and they're all very expensive.
Yeah.
My concern is that it always smells like vomit inside those things.
Smell like barf. You're right.
It is something that's better at the arcade than it is at home. You can't get this experience at home.
No.
Right?
Well, not really. I mean, VR, you could argue VR negates that, but yeah, I see what you mean. Like, the part of the rumbly seat and everything's actually moving, you can't get that at home.
Okay, so now to bring this all the way around, in a time when text-based games were cutting edge.
Yeah.
I could see how going and seeing the movie Firefox would be exciting. Oh, I could see how just seeing a guy flying a weird-looking plane would be really exciting.
It was. I was there and did it, and I will report back. It was great. It was super cool. It's now super dumb, and it's, you know, I feel like it's obvious. It's passage of time. Things change, whatever, but at the time, it seemed pretty neat to me, and yesterday it did not seem as neat. Let's see.
You know, yeah. You told us you've seen it 5 times. This was my first viewing. Was this the first viewing for everybody else?
Yes.
Yes, this is my first half viewing.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Wait. Right.
How long were you in the bathroom, Dunaway?
As long as it takes. I was in there long enough to die from being beat up by Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, he had to deliver his own MiG-15, if you know what I'm saying.
With the toilet paper roll holder thing, too, at the neck.
Yeah.
Is there anywhere in the world where if you locked yourself into a bathroom stall, someone's going to come along and check on you within, I don't know, a day?
Yeah, that doesn't happen.
5 minutes.
The Russians.
Wait a minute, this door's closed. It's not supposed to be closed when somebody is defecating in here.
Yeah. And by the way.
Mother Russia. Are you in there?
You're actually not too far off with the accent, Brian, because nobody seemed to have the right Russian accent. They were all over the map.
No.
All over the map in this thing. Like, nobody was convincing as Russian, not even the head Russian guy who sounded like Fiddler on the Roof or something. It was not even close. I do like a movie that can put the name Vasily to good work, you know? Like, I like a Vasily in my spy movies.
All right.
It's pretty good.
Right. Speaking of new things, we have a new season of new Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yeah, I keep hearing them, but it's good.
Yes.
I have only watched the first one, and it's good. But I had Firefox, man. I so wanted Mystery Science Theater 3000 to help me through this movie.
It's too slow, I think. I don't think they could do it. Like, yeah. For us, like, imagine us doing a live sack of it. This just wouldn't happen. It's just, like, too long.
It would feel excruciating. We'd be doing what we're doing now and talking about every other thing out there.
Yeah, we wouldn't talk. Mm-hmm. The movie would be, an important thing would happen, like, oh, he's grabbing is he grabbing his wiener or his gun? Like, and then we'd go, oh, no, we've missed it. What happened? Like, it would not be good. Right. I do like the following things, though, and these are some of my tropes. I like a good spy movie having a fight in the shitter. A good fight in the shitter is always good.
Because it's private, right?
Yeah. A good bathroom shitter fight is one of my favorite things. All spy movies do this, too. It's like in all of them. There's always going to be, if you're in a bathroom, I'm like, all right, shitter fight. Here we go. Let's do it.
Right.
That's a trope, by the way. Yeah. There's a couple of uses of the bathroom here. There's that one, and then there's one where he's having like a PTSD moment, and he hides in a bathroom.
Yep,
that's like definitely like this public toilet,
the shower.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, there's a shower and the bathroom. I think he had two of them.
I guess we're supposed to feel like dirty, like it's kind of a like this is a sleazy way to go.
Oh, I feel that way. I feel like I don't want to ever die in a public bathroom of any kind ever. I don't want to even sit in there, let alone die in there.
God, no kidding.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, do we have a what gross Scott out moment?
Yeah, we do. We do. Oh. But you're going to be surprised at what it is, and it wasn't obvious enough that I bet nobody gets it. So I may as well just say it, because bathroom fights are gross. Sure. I don't know what else there was. There was maybe. I don't know.
Was it the sweating that Clint Eastwood was doing in the sweatsuit?
The helmet.
The very
that's
beginning?
What I was gonna say. Helmet sweat.
No, it wasn't that. Right. But that's also gross. For me, the grossest thing was just it was like a let's not take another take just for that kind of moment. It's when the big Russian guy, the main secretary, first secretary, whatever his name was, he while yelling at his dudes in that control room. Spit while he yelled, like a big blob of spit came flying out of his mouth, and that, despite that is the grossest thing in the movie. All I can think about is that sour, nasty blob of goo coming out of that big actor who's been doing this for like 4 hours. This is his last take. Big old Horkin Luger booger, man. Gross. That was it for me. That was really it for me. The spinning dials and planes. That's a fun trope. Like that one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you have the ability to mentally control things, but we're going to limit it to this thing you almost never do. Okay.
Right. And then, when
it's probably good though, because you don't want like, I wonder if I turned off the light switch. Oh, turn. No, I didn't want to turn.
No, turn. Shit. Right. No, my right. Left. Right. Left. Right.
That's not right. No, I didn't want to go right.
No, I meant correct. It's not correct. That's what I meant. What else?
How about the trope of retired military out in the middle of nowhere? The military always kind of speaks up in a helicopter.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, they do. Those bastards.
Yeah. We need you. That. We need you for this job. This one last time.
Also, do they? You. Is there such a thing as coming up through an ice flow? Like,
yeah,
your submarine.
Absolutely. Really? Yeah, with submarines. Yeah.
Can you do that? I mean, it'd have to be pretty.
Of course, you know, the submarines that dip in the North Sea are always popping up through ice flows.
Oh my gosh, it is the best Cliff Clavin this side of the.
What there is not is landing a plane on ice and then stopping 2 feet from death.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, and if
that's
it's
not what he's doing,
if that's as thin as the ice is, though, is what I'm saying. The plane would just go in. Like, there's if the ice is thin enough for that thing to pop through it. Then I don't
it's
think
not it's that thin.
Enough.
They had Cliffy out there chipping away at it.
Yeah, that worked. Him and Norm working on that.
Right.
What else was I going to say about the tropes? I forgot. Oh, I said spinning dials, didn't I? Oh, the sunset at the end. I hate that. It's like, oh, this is a terrible sky full of awful stuff. But at the end, it's a nice, beautiful sunset. Well done, everybody. Mm-hmm. Go home. Yeah. Fly home.
You think this is symbolic enough?
Yeah. But more fighting in the shader, please. I like those. I wanted to mention something about Clint Eastwood and the way he punches. He does this in all his movies, every which way but loose. Anytime there needs to be physical contact between a Clint Eastwood fist and somebody's face or head, it's a special kind of punch. Like heavy equipment or something. Like all bone. It's like all bone weight, and it feels like it's just crushing and just this big hammer hand. It's amazing to me.
It comes from way back.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And it's usually point of view. So it's always usually the camera getting punched first.
Yeah, a lot of times it is. But it just looks painful and slow and plodding and then powerful, like a big you know what it reminds me of? It's like it's like practical human version of what those Pacific Rim robot punches were like. You know, with the rocket propelled punches.
Right.
That's what it reminded me of. Like a big, just slow motion, huge. He's like a crane of a man. And just, I would never want to get punched by Clint Eastwood. Even now, even in the shape he's in now, I don't want to get punched.
You get the feeling you could dodge it when it's that slow and telegraphed. You could get out of the way.
It's pretty projected. But when it hits, shit. You know, like just, my teeth, every tooth rattles. There's something about that. I don't know what it is, but it always jumps out at me when I watch his movies. I think that's all. You guys got anything you want to add before we talked about the trope of the messed up nom guy? Oh yeah, we did way earlier,
right?
Yeah.
Because
I have clips if you want.
Russian paranoia. Let's get to clips.
All right. Clips. It is.
I am. I hope you have captured every bit of dialogue in the film because it was like 3 total minutes.
I have many clips, and here's one about some dumb fake technology. So here you go.
The thought guided, thought controlled arsenal. On board the plane. The pilot's actual brain emissions are translated into a central computer through sensors in his helmet.
Uh-huh. Is that enough for audiences in 82? Just go, okay, cool. Park my brain. Right. Sounds good. How does it work? Oh, yeah, you got a helmet? Okay. Nice.
This is a movie that if you're coming in late to the film, like you're one of those people who comes in 10 minutes late into the film, there's some stuff you're going to miss there at the beginning of the explanation of stuff.
Yep.
That is pretty important.
That's useful, but boring.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, boring, but useful.
Sure.
Yeah.
Here's a delay. Okay, so this is what they used to call PTSD, I guess. So here's that.
Delayed stress syndrome is common among our vets.
So DSS is what it used to be called. Or this must have been before PTSD or post-traumatic stress disorder was a term. And I don't know why I even cared to record it, but I did. Here's where, I don't know what this is.
Where is it? Russia.
Oh, I don't know why. Cap, that was a dumb. Okay. That was a dumb clip. The mate has no bearing on anything. okay, Russia. here's my question: was this guy's name really Buckles? And I'm gonna play the clip, and you tell me if what you hear is Lieutenant or Captain Buckles or whatever his last name is.
This is suicide, Buckles.
His name is Buckles.
It is.
Sounds like a clown.
It does sound like Buckles the clown.
Mr. Buckles.
I don't know why it made me laugh, but I had to cap it. All right, Brian, I found a clip of your prom being described by the principal the next day.
Excellent.
You're getting deep on this. I don't know where this treasure trove came from, but your mom just keeps funneling to me, so I'll take
them.
These
clips make my prom seem longer than just one night.
It really does. There's so many
more
people involved.
More hours than prom actually lasted.
But here it is, a description of prom by your principal at the time of your high school.
Look at that face. Would you believe me if I told you he had 5 pounds of heroin right there? Looks like he's on a weekend at Acapulco.
There you go. This is crazy. You really have
in
a
his
good
face?
Yeah.
He's got 5 pounds of heroin in his face. Kind of what it sounds like.
Also, film. 82. Right. What is... Oh, I wrote, what is he saying? Because I can't understand it. So there you go.
Cover up yourself in the toilets over there.
What did he say? Try it
Cover
again.
Cover-ups are sitting in the toilet over there?
Cover up yourself in the toilets over there.
I don't know.
It's somebody speaks over someone else.
Okay, yeah. So that first part.
Cover up yourself in the toilets over there.
Oh, yeah. It's the guy who kept interrupting him, like, papers, please. Yeah, and you... Hey, what are you doing in Russia? Well, I'm going to be... Why do you...
Oh, yeah.
Why are you sweaty? He keeps
why are you sweaty? If I had a dollar for every time someone asked me that. Here's one, a weird Russian thing to say. I like the way it sounds.
Sounds a little bit like Sean Connery.
It does.
It was also dubbed, which is great.
All
right. Enough of that guy. How about this one? You hear this every time in a spy movie at least once. This happens in every spy movie at least one scene, and usually it's the shitter fight, but not always. So here you go. Okay, here's the sound. Slowly getting close to the stall.
Yeah, that's a late night walk, right? Yeah. And that was interrupted by the young couple. That always seems to happen.
Always. That's true. Oh my gosh, the young couple that always shows up in these fights. Mm-hmm. I have weird nostalgia for what you just said there. It's weird. Mm. How many movies have I seen with that? Probably hundreds.
All of them.
I wrote here. That's not very nice. I wrote.
What is it with you Jews anyway?
Oh, because you wouldn't say that today.
Offensive.
Yeah.
It's a little old. This movie.
Yeah. What is it with you Jews anyway?
Yeah.
What's this? Oh, he said, this is the guy from Star Wars. He says, "You have killed him," but I like how he pronounces "killed."
You have killed him.
You have killed him.
Killed him. You punched him in the face until he died.
You have killed him.
Killed him.
You've killed him, Lord Vader. Russian man slap. Here you go. There you go. It's a Russian man.
Wow.
Wow. Somebody hit that watermelon hard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With a belt.
Nailed
it. With the flat side of a belt.
Yeah. With Lieutenant Buckles.
Yeah, Lieutenant Buckles. Oh, Buckles. Buckles. Actually, it wasn't Buckles. It was...
It was the bad guy.
Yeah.
Bad who guy. Just told him, you slapped him until you killed him.
Oh, yeah, he beat him. He kept telling him to keep beating him, and then the guy died, and then he blamed him.
I know. I love how they were, like, all trying... Push me. Well,
yeah, they're shitty. They're shitty Russians. Let's just put it out there. They're shitty Russians. Here's another bad Russian. Not convincing at all, Clint.
That was all the Russian he spoke.
You got to remember, his mother was Russian. If you miss that one line at the beginning of the movie, it's very confusing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, his character's mother.
Could there be anybody less Russian looking than Clint Eastwood?
Even Russian with the mustache.
Looking. Okay.
Yeah. I like the mustache, though. It looked kind of cool.
The mustache grooming was awesome.
Yeah.
I wish I had somebody come in just, groom my mustache.
Maybe you do that, right? Someone comes in and...
We have audio of that, don't we? Probably. Of my prom date doing that?
Probably. Here it is. All right. So here's here's some real Russian.
Da.
Da. Okay, he says da.
Oh, wow. Quick.
Does that mean no or yes? I don't know what that means.
Yes.
Is it?
Nyet is no.
Da.
It's really short.
That's a police song you just played right there.
Oh, yeah. Da, da, da. That's not
a police
song.
Or a trio song.
Yeah.
I was going, da, da, da.
The trio works too. No, it totally works. The music is lame, I wrote here, and here's a sample. It's pretty bad.
I don't usually notice how bad music is in a movie, but this was bad.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. It was sparse, so you didn't hear it a lot, but when you did, it was like, ooh, okay, back off, everybody. Get your hands off the Korg and walk away. I like this line. I'm going to keep this for other things.
I'm taking a shower now. I don't want to be disturbed.
All right.
Nick.
Sure had to explain that one. What do you think he was doing in there?
And that's the one you were talking about where you have to then tell yourself as a viewer, oh, he was just speaking Russian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to tell yourself that. There's no indication in the movie of that.
Yeah, and I don't like that.
Implying that the pilot was supposed to be English of some sort. Maybe he was a double. I didn't understand.
That whole scene in the shower should have been subtitles. That's where it would have fit.
Yeah.
It's short. It's concise. You can totally get away with subtitles and have him say, but maybe he just didn't want to do it. And he's the director. He gets to call the shots. F those guys.
I would like to then say, though, my favorite thing in the film, and I want to ask you what your favorite thing in the film was. My favorite thing in the film is him appearing in that black pilot suit.
Yeah, that was cool.
Like,
in the middle of the killings.
Yeah,
he looks like that dude from the what's the driving show that Top Gear? Looks like the Stig. Looks like the Stig.
Stig in black.
I thought he looked like a TIE fighter pilot. I thought he looked really cool there. That might have been my favorite as well. I can't think of anything else now that you're saying it. Yeah, I don't think. Let me think here. Yeah, that's it. I like the shitter fight. That's fun. It's a good time to play. This guy does not sound Russian to me, I wrote.
This is the first secretary. I'm speaking to the individual who has stolen the property of the USSR. Can you hear me, Mr. Gant?
I don't think that's Russian.
Oh, that's me. He's talking to me. I stole the plane.
He put in his words.
Bulgarian or Romanian or something.
Something else.
And first secretary, that means he's the leader of the USSR.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you may not have caught that. He identifies himself as the, whoever you want to be, Brezhnev, Gorbachev, whatever that person was.
Sure.
So, he's the president. Like, you're they don't really...
Prime minister. I guess they didn't have a prime minister. The first secretary is the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were called first secretary up until the 70s, and they started calling them general secretary.
Yeah.
And it's just weird. Like, they should have made more of that, because I just thought he was a heavy. It didn't really occur to me. Oh, he's the Gorbachev or whatever.
They kept trying to ratchet up the tension level, but I couldn't follow along, and so it was falling the side for me.
He's the one that spit on the guy in front of him, and then they didn't take another take. Yeah, that's the guy. All right, here's this this one called, I like this line.
Obliterated completely.
Oh. All right, great. That's the
soon as I heard that, I knew it was going to be on this.
You have to. It's good. This guy's definitely not Russian.
I'm sorry, First Secretary. I was just thinking out loud.
Yes, I'm German somehow, so welcome to...
They all are. Every one of these actors is German.
Right, because they had the German scientists there. That was the whole idea, right? During the Cold War, that's what Russia would do. And
yep. Yeah, for sure. Here's one of a dude who goofed. Oh, this is First Secretary again. I think he goofed and they just kept it in. So here's a line.
It would appear that the dissidents failed to put the aircraft out of commission.
Well, how soon can it be ready to fly?
How soon? Wait. How soon?
Line?
Don't step on my line again, you missile.
It actually works if you leave mistakes like that in.
I think it's fine, but I can
feels
tell.
More genuine. Yeah.
I can just tell it's fake, or that it was him goofing up. Here, this guy's annoyed.
The refueling ship or aircraft. He cannot land on an aircraft carrier.
Yeah, see?
Man. Gonna land on an aircraft.
That guy sounds like he's right out of The Sound of Music or something.
I'm annoyed.
Right.
And if you listen, to this, you can hear Cliff in the background. Okay, so here's Cliffy.
Kolobowski, stand by number one. Cop.
Took long enough.
I love that. As soon, before you even see Cliff, you're hearing him
Hey,
Normie, get those fuel injectors over here.
You know, funny thing about fuel injectors. Yeah, I just. Everything about him being in this made me happy. Maybe that's my favorite thing as a Cliff.
By the way, that scene had the least scientific accurate part of the entire movie, where these guys with these water blowers are given 3 minutes to make a runway that's 3,000 feet long.
Yep.
I run pretty regularly. I could not run 3,000 feet in 3 minutes.
No,
with running shoes on and a good surface. I could not run 3,000 feet in 3 minutes. Yeah. I cannot stand that. I don't understand why.
It was unfortunate you were trying to apply logic to this film.
Yeah. Well, it's a movie that wants you to more than, say, Star Wars, where we can't, because there's no tauntauns and a way to cut them open with a light sword and sleep in them. You know, we buy all that. Well, why? Well, because it's our brain was already parked at the door because we're accepting this universe for what it is. But in a movie like this, they want you to feel like these things could be real, and that stuff just throws me. It's like, no, right. You can't.
I mean, this plane, they could have said anything about this plane because we would have bought it. It's like, this plane doesn't even need any roads. It'll just take off from here.
That's my point. If you're gonna just outright lie about how math and science work, you may as well go with it.
Yeah.
Like, ride that train.
Yeah. You know? Go deep. All the way in, if you know
what
I'm
saying.
All in. Yeah. Duh. All right. That leaves us with all our clips played, which means it's time for this. That's not the right one. This. It's the Film Sack Checklist. We start with worst Russian secret handler ever. Check. Eventually get to the plane. Check. It took forever. I thought the plane was. It was like a horror movie where you never see the monster. It was like, come on, let's get to the plane.
Right.
And finally, we'll just pretend that everyone is hearing me talk Russian. Check. All right. Hey, Star Trek connections. There were actually 54 of them, but we've narrowed them down to 1, 2, 3, 4. One is very significant. So Ward Costello played General Rogers in TNG, played Gregory Quinn in the episode Coming of Age and Conspiracy. Tony Rappenfuss played he was a GRU officer in DS9, played Yeln in the episode Second Skin. He's best known for his role on Newhart as First Daryl, by the way.
My other brother Daryl my other brother Daryl?
Yeah, the first brother Daryl. First Daryl. Richard Durr was Admiral Curtin. He played Commodore Barstow in The Alternative Factor and Admiral Fitzgerald in The Mark of Gideon on TOS. And Gregory Jen, this is the big one, he's a model designer. He was the master lead model designer in construction of the 2 6-foot studio models of the USS Enterprise D. So that guy made the USS Enterprise D. That's a big deal. And he did the little miniatures and stuff for this. So that's his deal. That's a pretty big one, I think.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. You can't deny that dude some props. Soundtrack grade, I'm gonna give it a BT for barely there, and that leads us to the Twitter posts where you guys sum it up in 140 characters or less. Let us start at is tradition with Randy.
Firefox, Dirty Harry walks around town at night forever, steals a plane, then flies around forever. The end.
That's the movie. Nailed it. Well done. Brian Dunaway.
Firefox, like acting, directing, and producing your own $21 million project and blowing the entire budget on not-so-special effects and bad borscht. Borscht.
Borscht.
Borscht.
I've never said borscht right. Borscht.
Burr.
What is borscht anyway? What is it? Who can tell
beet
me?
Beet soup.
Beet soup.
Beet soup. Soup.
Yes.
It sounds like meat.
It's delicious.
It sounds like a meat thing. It's not a meat thing, huh?
It is a meat thing.
No, it's not.
Oh,
and get your other veggies in there, like celery, carrots, cabbage.
Sounds like a farty mess to me. Is what that sounds
it
like.
It is a fart. Yes, borscht will make you
go.
And that's the reason why I had to go to the potty.
You will help potty us potty go. All right. I can't believe you bought a pack lid into this, Brian Ibbett. That's amazing. All right. Finally, Brian Ibbett.
I'm so glad I made it through the entire episode without spoiling this.
Okay.
Firefox, too much hassle.
Take that, TMS fans. Best thing ever. All right. Well, at the end of that, we got this hair thing. This is the alternative titles just handed to me. It was almost called like its browser counterpart. It gets the job done, but it's kind of bloated. And finally, like Every Which Way But Russia. Oh, that's a good one. That's a keeper.
That's great.
We got emails from two people this week, and I'm going to read them. They come to us at filmsack@gmail.com. You're encouraged to do that yourselves. Find people at home. We will read your emails right here on the air. The mule wrote in and said, that's a horse. He says, hey there, sackos. He called us sackos. That's kind of cool.
That's nice. I like it.
I was listening to Around the World in 80 Days and heard you gloss over Succubus, Hellbent with Natalie Denise Spurl. It is a wonderfully sackable movie. It's a teen comedy / horror / jet fighter movie. It also...
Side me up.
It also has an amazing cameo by Nick Nolte. It is one of my favorite bad movies. Enjoy The Mule. Write that one down. Never heard of it.
Succubus Hellbent from 2007. It is not. So you know how it usually says it's available to purchase on
Amazon and da da da. There is nothing listed on Just Watch for any possible right. way to watch this film.
And I don't even see it in Nick Nolte's pantheon of
So this doesn't even exist. I mean, for all intents and purposes, if we can't get it anywhere, it may never make it. But it sounds awesome.
It does sound awesome.
Yeah. What year was it?
2007.
Seven. Yeah.
We might have to buy 4 copies of the Blu-ray. And yes, I said Blu-ray.
Well done.
What?
Well done. What? There are Blu-rays? Are you serious? This is on Blu-ray.
I'm looking to see. I'm saying that we have to. Okay. I'm saying that if it's available on Blu-ray, we have to get the.
Now, let's talk about that. I want to be really thankful to the person who gave us Firefox.
Oh,
who was it again?
Yeah. I've totally forgot to do
Hammond
this.
Chamberlain.
Yeah, it was Hammond.
Thank
right?
you.
I said that because I had it in my notes to make sure we thank him.
Yeah. It's really cool getting these movies and watching them. Firefox did not translate well to DVD to Xbox One. I just want you to know.
Yeah. Well, for me, I did the digital file because I have to for the way I cap these things. But the only thing I feel sad about this one is that people are going to have to rent it to see it. And this may be one of those film sacks that if you don't have easy access to it, it may just be worth the episode to listen to. But you know, you don't necessarily have to watch the thing. Mm-hmm. But Hammond, thank you. And everyone else who's done that. Look, we are slowly eventually getting through these. So don't worry. Yep. If you send us a disc, we'll get to it. We got stuff.
Someday.
Yeah, someday it'll happen. Thomas from Missouri. So oh, yeah, go ahead.
The Mule mentioned mentioned Nick Nolte. Didn't say anything about Gary Busey being in this thing.
Maybe that's what you're thinking of, because I don't see Nick Nolte in there, is he?
Oh, there we go. So it's Gary Busey.
All right, Gary Busey.
You can get it. Honestly. You can rent it on Amazon for $2.99. It's included with whatever Con TV on Amazon is. I guess that's another channel you can get through Amazon, but it's $4.99 a month for that. So
okay,
this will be streaming eventually.
That's not bad. Getting it on Amazon is no big deal. That's pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, it has possibilities. We'll certainly keep it on our list of potentials because we're always looking for those. Thomas from Missouri wrote in, says, "Hey, Scott, Brian, Randy, and the other Brian." Oh, you already said two Brians. Oh, anyway. He says, is there a third Brian? Where? Probably. I'm not talking to you, Siri. Hold on. Freaking Siri thinks I'm talking to her. Okay. Really enjoyed the Thinner episode, and you guys talked about cursed movies. They made me think of my favorite cursed movie, Drag Me to Hell. I had heard about how scary this movie was when I watched it and prepared to be frightened. Instead, I pretty much laughed through the entire film. Maybe I've seen too many Sam Raimi movies, but the film was hilarious to me. And it didn't help that the ending was so predictable, I guessed it halfway through. But I enjoyed it, and it, but maybe not in the way Raimi intended. Keep up the great work, guys. Thomas from Missouri. So I never saw Drag Me to Hell, and tons of emails this week about, if you guys want to see a curse movie, that's the one to see. And have you guys all seen Drag Me to Hell? It's relatively new.
I have not. It's on my short list of curse movies I want to watch. I did catch It Follows. Which was another one people suggested. Some other movies that people suggested about Christmas movies that we missed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It Follows is one of them. That's true. Yeah. We've just got lots of feedback on Thinner, by the way. Lots of, you know, people piping in on the whole Romani gypsy thing. We had a really.
Some in nicer ways than others.
Yeah. Some of them are, you know, rage quitting me. But some of them are, you know, but whatever. It's a conversation, and I've really enjoyed it. In fact, when we were in Vegas this week, Brian Ibbett and I were able to talk to some fans and talk to James from Same Sex Mary specifically about the whole thing, and he's been there. His wife is Romanian?
Bulgarian.
Bulgarian, right. So they know actual Bulgarian Romani folk or people that are in that area, and it was that was fascinating. So it's just created a much larger conversation than I ever expected. And I will never think of cursed movies the same. Although I did when I was on Fremont Street, there was somebody there in a big wagon that said gypsy fortune-telling wagon something name on it. And it had a stereotypical gypsy-dressed person.
Candy for kids.
Yeah, and they were out there reading tarot cards and had a crystal ball and all that stuff. And it was like a street performer-style thing, but they had an actual cart there. And I took a picture of it with the Twitter account and said, uh-oh. So anyway... It continues on as a conversation piece for sure. If you'd like to send your own emails into us, you can, filmsack@gmail.com. Thanks to Thomas and the Mule for their emails. Real quick, next week, we probably have another movie. I don't know what it is, though. What is it? I should probably plan this ahead. I always forget that.
Yes, next week, we're watching Tales from the Dark Side, the movie.
Oh,
what?
Yes. Okay.
I have that on DVD.
Really?
No, I have it on LaserDisc.
Of course you do.
Wait a minute.
This is the one with Blondie, right?
This is...
Or is this Tales from the Crypt? Tales from the Dark Side.
Tales from the Dark Side, the movie.
Right, right.
Starring Debbie Harry, Christian Slater, Steve Buscemi. It's from 1990.
Right. And this was like one of those anthology style movies. So it's like a bunch. It's like Creepshow.
Yes, I have this one.
Cat's Eye and all those.
I love that you have it already.
Where is it streaming?
I can't find it on Netflix.
Tales from the Dark Side.
If you need a copy, let me know.
Well, the bigger question is, oh, there it is. Tales from the Dark Side, the movie, 1990. You're right. Netflix, it is definitely there, and it looks like it's going to be there for a bit. It is. Oh, that looks bloody. This looks like fun.
This is great.
Yeah.
I love this.
These are some of my favorites. So I'd never seen this, and I'm stoked now.
Yeah, I love all these kind of movies like Creepshow, Tales from the Dark Side, Cat's Eye.
Cat's Eye was great with the smoker, the stop smoking room.
Julianne Moore's in this.
One of my favorites from back in the day. I did actually have that one on Laserdisc. Had Billy Zane in it. Had some great filter music in it. It was a really good one. Oh my gosh,
you guys. Look who we're going to get here. Deborah Harry, that'll be our first time with her. Christian Slater, I haven't seen him in a while. Steve Buscemi, awesome. Julianne Moore's in this. The singer from the New York Dolls, David Johansson's in it.
Oh, right,
William Hickey's in it. That's Uncle Lewis from Christmas
you
Vacation.
You asked for it?
Yeah.
You got it. Toyota. You put the cat in the jello.
That guy, he's awesome. And then the return of James Remar, who we haven't seen at least in a couple of weeks. He's always in these. And Raydon Chong.
He's back.
And Raydon Chong, who I don't think we've seen since Drop Zone. So,
that's
been
a while. And that's one of my favorite of the three movies, the three little anthology bits in this. That's my favorite one. So, can't wait.
I'm so excited.
Did we do Commando? I always forget if we did Commando.
Oh, no, we did Commando. She was in that. That's what I'm thinking of. That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah, she was in that. All right. Well, this is a genius one. We're going to love this. Next week, Tales from the Dark Side, the movie on Netflix now. And rentable everywhere else in case you don't have Netflix. So go check it out. What's this ads network?
Don't click on that.
I want to click on it.
Don't.
Oh, and the first thing it said to me was, please disable your ad blocker. That's hilarious. all right. Anyway, looking forward to that. That'll be next week right here on FilmSack. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And you're all thinking, wait, Vegas, what happened? We were able to take a trip between episodes without it interrupting us at all. It's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So next week, back at it, another episode. Come on back for that. In the meantime, FilmSack.com is the website. You can go there and hang out with other people on the blog and talk and argue and all that stuff's great. Call us out on stuff. We'd love it. Bring it. FilmSack@gmail.com is the email address. We're on Twitter at FilmSack. You can follow us there. And of course, I never say this, but you can follow Randy Deluxe, Scott Johnson, Coverville, and the Brian Dunaway as well, as individuals as we are. I should probably just put that in
one of us is verified.
Yeah, one of us got verified out of nowhere this week. And that,
now I want to go get verified.
It was really weird. Didn't expect it. Anyway, I guess I'm the only Scott Johnson. That matters. The only one. The one that matters. Not really. Anyway, leave us reviews on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts. It helps us in great ways. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Yes.
We'll see you next time.
Nit.
Duh.
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 This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Yeah.